Sal Escobar, speaking of that, Representative Escobar wants you to call him if you would.
Yeah, he's on my list this morning.
You're on my list too, because I sent you an email a month ago.
The committee, interim committee on Veterans and Military Affairs will come to order. This is the first meeting after the first regular, short, odd, even session, whatever we're calling it, that's in front of us. Today, a couple quick announcements of the schedule for the public. We're going to have an informational meeting later this morning to talk and get an update on veterans court issues. We have some announcements, and then after that, the committee members that are available will be taking a tour over to the Anderson Readiness Center. That's an invitation-only tour, look at the operations center there in the 911 area. And just as a reminder, for the public, committee members won't be talking about any policy or discussing any issues. It's purely an informational tour for them to utilize during the fall and the next session. Having said that, before we go forward, Madam Vice Chair.
I do want to state that April, we're now in May, was the month of the military child, and I think it's important throughout the nation they were celebrating that, and we have to be reminded of the unique challenges they face as military-connected children. So I just wanted to state that, even though we didn't necessarily do anything significant. But Afghanistan has been in the news quite a bit recently, and so I love starting our committees with some writings, sayings from the voices of our Oregon National Guard, and this is written by someone who was in Afghanistan. And I've read it before, but I decided to read it again. The Green Zone in Iraq was a safe place, but the Green Zone in Afghanistan is not. They have irrigation ditches that have been hand-dug for centuries. They stretch out 3 kilometers in either direction. The center is the Helmand River, which is the source of water. This is where all the farmland is and where the Taliban operate out of. And literally, when the corn comes up, it's 10 to 12 feet tall, so it's like a jungle. And that's where they conduct a lot of their ambushes, out of the cornfields. You could have 1 foot in the desert and 1 foot in the green zone. Literally, it just stops. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And before we go on to talk about veterans issues in courts, I think Madam Vice Chair made mention in the news. I mean, the French announced at the NATO summit yesterday that they are pulling out of Afghanistan, declaring victory by the end of the year. And then there's also an announcement that the Americans will be down to 20,000 troops before too long in Afghanistan. And that's, of course, one of the issues that we're going to talk about on the Veterans Court issue, and that is as we withdraw and we're not on the 6 o'clock news, veterans aren't, and we aren't on the front page of the Oregonian and the Statesman, that we still have veterans issues out there that remain, and we even have veteran issues that remain back to the Vietnam and the Korean War. That this committee and the House committee and the 05, 07, 09, and then the short session have been dealing with to assist the 350,000 Oregonians here that are veterans here in Oregon. With that.
Oh, and Mr. Chair, one yes. more comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Memorial Day is coming up, and I just want to send out, I think the committee would like to send out Memorial Day is a way to honor those that have served our nation and those who have fallen, and I just wanted to make that statement too, because that is next week.
Yes,
and my grandson's first birthday. Okay.
Well, congratulations to your grandson and to all those who have served the country in all capacities during Memorial Day. With that, I'm going to ask that Christopher Kent and Jess Barton come forward, and we're going to get a quick update on the veterans court issues, if you would, please. And just a reminder, whoever's leading off, for the record, state your name and your position.
My name is Jesse Barton. I'm a lawyer in private practice here in Salem. I'm a member of the Oregon State Bar. I'm a member of the Military Assistance Panel, or the Bar's Military Assistance Panel, also a member of the Lawyers for Veterans Steering Committee that Mr. Kent chairs.
Chris Kent, Chair of the Veterans Law Steering Committee, former member of the Board of Governors, and member of the Military Assistance Panel.
Thank you. And who's going to lead off?
Mr. Barton will.
That's a typical lawyer. Pass the buck to someone else, right?
I wasn't expecting that, Mr. Chair. No, but part of the work that the lawyers, that the steering committee is doing, is a couple of legislative concepts that we're advancing. Been approved by the, if I'm correct, the Bar's Public Affairs Committee. One of them is to ensure state agency compliance with the notification requirements of the Service Member Civil Relief Act. Something we recently found out, state agencies are not necessarily in compliance with. Courts got into compliance with SCRA notification requirements. I'm going to go back, explain the Service Member Civil Relief Act is an act that comes into effect when persons are called on to active duty. Persons receive certain civil protections from, particularly from creditors, landlords, civil matters of that nature. A person might be, for example, facing some sort of a license suspension by a state agency, but then gets called on to active duty and won't be able to defend themselves in the license suspension process. They're supposed to be, under the Service Member Civil Relief Act, they're supposed to be notified of their rights under the SCRA to have the administrative proceeding put on hold until they come off active duty. Now, a similar thing can go on in a court. A person might be involved in some sort of a civil court proceeding that they won't be able to defend themselves in while they're on active duty. They can have that court proceeding stayed. Some years ago, the court system in Oregon got into compliance with the SCRA's notification requirements. Now, litigants are routinely informed of their SCRA rights, if they have any, when they go into courts. But that doesn't necessarily happen when folks are facing some sort of an administrative proceeding that's brought by a state agency. And administrative proceedings are just as covered by the SCRA's the SCRA rights as our court proceedings. So the first one of the concepts that's come out of the steering committee is some legislative amendments that would require state agencies to comply with SCRA notification requirements. That's the first concept, and I would probably want to stop there and answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, if the committee has any.
Doesn't look like there's any questions. Please go on.
The second concept is actually a follow-up to a bill that the legislature passed in 2010. In 2010, the legislature passed Senate Bill 999, and that bill authorized district attorneys to divert from criminal prosecution certain types of veteran defendant cases. Veterans facing criminal prosecution, they could seek diversion under SB 99 in certain circumstances. It's a pretty wide-ranging bill. It applies to probably most criminal cases. It would not apply to, for example, some Measure 11 cases and some domestic violence cases. That bill was actually an offshoot of a bill that was offered in the 2009 legislative session. That bill that was offered in the 2009 session did not pass, but it was sort of resurrected for the short 2010 session as Senate Bill 999. The original bill also had in it this what I call the judicial tools concept, which is sort of the back end of the criminal justice process. The Senate Bill 999 addressed the front end, the pre-trial portion of a criminal prosecution, that the stage of the proceedings when a district attorney might divert a case from criminal prosecution, put the person into a diversion program, some sort of a probationary program. That's at the front end. At the back end, if the person goes through the criminal or through the prosecution process, either pleads guilty or has a jury trial, whatever, you get to the back end, then what happens? Well, the case is going to go into sentencing. And what the judicial tools piece does is it resurrects the other half of the bill that was actually originally sponsored in 2009 by allowing, it creates a mitigating factor for a court to use in sentencing veteran defendants. If they suffer from the way the bill is presently written, if they suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, if it can be established that there's some connection between the suffering from PTSD and or TBI, and if a treatment program can be put together then the court can treat that circumstance as the existence of a mitigating factor, which would authorize then the court to have, grant the court discretion to impose probation with treatment instead of sentencing the veteran defendant to prison. I think that's kind of summarizes the judicial tools legislative concept that this steering committee has. So let's stop there and answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, that the committee might have.
I do have just a coordination question in the two concepts. I'm assuming, and you know what happens when you assume, I'm assuming that the steering committee is coordinating this with these concepts with the Attorney General's office and the Justice Department and the defense lawyers, so that everybody's at least aware of what's transpiring, so that we don't end up with several bill drafts in January that suddenly there's six sides, I'm talking about lawyers here, trying to resolve these two issues.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's correct. I know that bar staff has met with the state bar has a various sections. One of its sections is the criminal law section. It's comprised of one half defense attorneys, one half prosecutors. Bar staff have met with that committee to discuss the matter with them. I've discussed the matter with the representative. Well, Gail Meyer is here today with Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. There's been discussions there. How far bar staff has gone in discussing this issue with, for example, the Department of Justice? Speaking in terms of the judicial tools concept, the mitigating factor. I should point out. I don't know on that. I know that the issue regarding the notification requirements concept for the Service Member Civil Relief Act. We just had a meeting last week or the week before. Representatives from the folks from the who represent or work with the Office of Administrative Hearings, the State Office of Administrative Hearings, and the State Department of Justice were present at the meeting, and as well as bar staff and myself. It was a meeting that was facilitated by Judiciary Committee Counsel Bill Taylor. So I know that with respect to that concept, the SCRA notification requirements concept, that's been discussed fairly broadly. I don't know that the mitigating factor concept has been discussed as broadly, although I do know it's been discussed with the bar's criminal law section, half of which is from folks from the prosecution bar.
I would encourage you, because of we're into annual sessions now, that our timeline is the committee will be discussing basic legislative concepts in September that come from each of the committee members who either the committee members are working on or their staff is working on. And then from the committee bill perspective, that has to be finalized in December for pre-introduction. And so I would encourage you on both of the concepts to broadly coordinate that and try and flush out those concepts by September because we're on a kind of an accelerated timeline in terms of that. So that we can, for better word, shop those and kind of get them into some sort of semi-final firm jello form. As I said, you know, two concepts, six lawyers, 16 opinions, that we can kind of get that moving along by December. But we really need to have some of those concepts done by September.
Okay.
And see that there's both the House committee and the Senate committee work on a very broad, total bipartisan effort to support veterans. And so we need to get that shopped around between all the members on both sides of the chamber early to see that go forward. Other questions? Madam Vice Chair.
Not necessarily specifically what you have, but I've been meeting a lot of people in my district recently and several vets. And one got a DUI and then went down to California and then came back and has $10,000 that he has to pay. And I want to know what service he was asking me to help him, because he wants to come clean. He wants to do what is right now. We don't know why he had a DUI. I mean, if that was related to coming back to the States or whatever. But are there... I'd like to know, because I told him to email me, and I assume he will, because this was just last week. Are there something in the system that he can sort of plead his case, or once he's in the court systems? I mean, $10,000 for this young man is overwhelming. Right. And so I just am at a loss, and that's why we will be contacting somebody once we get his email. But
well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Mona Anderson, has he been convicted, or is he still facing the charges?
I can't tell you the details. I'm sorry.
There is a possibility.
I just want to know, is there a system for my constituent who is a vet to get some more assistance in dealing with his court case?
There would be mechanisms. I mean, the one that just really pops to mind is if he hasn't been prosecuted yet, if he's still just facing the prosecution, and if it's his first DUI within a specified period of time, he can go through diversion. There's a DUI diversion program.
I don't know anything about the judicial system, so.
Sure, and it sounds to me like he's a very limited means, financial means, mm-hmm. so he should qualify for court-appointed counsel, would be paid by the State Office of Public Defense Services. So he should have to at least be able, when he appears in court, he should be able to qualify himself for court-appointed counsel, and then through that counsel work through the diversion process if it's available to him. That would be the best solution, it sounds like to me. Otherwise, it could get pretty tricky if he's already been through the process, already pled guilty or something. Maybe it's kind of too late for him to go through diversion.
And if it is too late, there's not much help.
Well, then there's other mechanisms that are available, but they're a lot. Well, the likelihood they're going to be fruitful is a lot.
Okay.
Starts shrinking. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I read to mention
one other thing. Hold on. Do you have a question,
Sorry.
Senator Corey?
Senator Marcy, why did he leave? Yeah. You know why he left? Was it duty?
No, he went down to California. He just wanted to escape. I mean,
right.
You know.
So it's a $10,000. You know, I don't mean to make noise like a lawyer, but what is? I'm curious about that $10,000.
I know. I'm sorry, I can't give you
the
details.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just found myself.
It's very much more complicated, I think, than I know.
Before we go on, though, I believe there is the bar does have a contact service in which, you know, for example, a veteran, not specifically this one, but any veteran could contact the service at the bar, and then they can refer them to one of the veteran counselors or veteran legal counselors. Isn't that correct? I know Susan's nodding her head back here.
Yeah, that's correct.
And how do they go to the bar side? How does a veteran get in touch with that entity?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I believe you go to the Oregon State Bar website, and then I think it's under military flyer or something like that. If you put in military, you're going to find it. It's going to come up.
Right. So in a veteran in that case, and I see Susan's nodding her head back there, would go to the Oregon, would just search under Google or Yahoo for the Oregon State Bar Association, and then there's a military and a veterans assistance deal there. And from there, the bar can refer them to somebody that they might get assistance from or they may be able to look into it.
I believe that's correct.
That's correct. Thank you. Madam
Counselor, I was just going to recite the State Bar's website. It's www.osbar.org. And if they can't find it via the military search, the plain lawyer referral service submission form will point them in the right direction. They can do it via email.
So for veterans out there in the public that have issues like this, we'd encourage them to contact the Bar Association, who has been very generous with their time in trying to help veterans. Go on, please.
I wish I had known that when I visited with him last week. Yes.
Well, we all, this is an educational experience.
That's right.
Mr. Chairman, just I neglected to mention something that's rather large and something. I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't mention this earlier, is that as you were talking about the necessity to discuss this judicial or this mitigating factor with other organizations, there's actually a meeting scheduled. I think it's tentatively scheduled for June 18th. It's another meeting that Judiciary Committee Counselor Bill Taylor has facilitated. And that meeting is specifically designed to discuss the mitigating factor. There'll be representatives there from the District Attorneys Association, the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, also from the judicial branch. There'll be at least one or two judges in attendance at that meeting. And that the purpose of the meeting is to try to get folks together to work together on the mitigating factor concept.
All right, well, thank you, Jess. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair. I thought we'd lead with our two most significant things with having Jess Barton talk to you about that, and I appreciate the timing instructions that you've given us, and we'll work towards trying to complete that. Our intent really is to present for this committee's review some proposed legislation that is not divisive, but that will have consensus by all the elements of the affected elements, and something that could be hopefully meet with your approval. But stepping back now and currently, I want to give you a little bit of an overview about the Military Assistance Panel background and the Lawyers for Veterans program. What we really did is we tried to coordinate with this Lawyers for Veterans steering program into sort of one house a lot of things, legislation that needs to occur, education that needs to occur to our bar members, and reaching out and incorporating kind of the military assistance panel. So that's what we have done. So it's a kind of a multifaceted, hopefully, one shop or one-stop shopping place for the bar's involvement and the bar's service for veterans. Mr. Barton's talked to you about Sarah and what we're doing in that particular area, so I won't rehash that. I want to talk a little bit about the Military Assistance Panel, which many of you know, and I'm a member, and Jess is a member. That panel has done really good work, and it, in essence, provides the link for veterans that have a number of issues to get, in essence, some free legal consultation and some help. So that in Madam Vice Chair's question, you know, that would be a good resource to direct that person. At least somebody out there may know something, and you get a lot of knowledgeable people like Jess Barton, who can, off the top of their head, answer a lot of questions. So we have on our website and on the Department of Justice's website, which is www.doj.state.org/USVeterans, also has some information about Sarah and other matters. The Military Assistance Panel, the kind of requirements are that people are supposed to and do dedicate at least 1 hour's worth of their time if they can try to help somebody. If it's going to take more involvement, it's just really up to the lawyer's personal decision. And I can tell you anecdotally, the lawyers that are involved in the Military Assistance Panel aren't doing it for financial reasons at all, and frequently you just end up taking the matter and just seeing it all the way through. And that's been my experience and my knowledge of other members of the Military Assistance Panel to do that. So the bar is proud of that. We continue to put our resources to that, and one of the key components is going to be education. And so we're currently in the Veterans Law Steering Committee putting on continuing legal educations and seminars and planning to do that. There's a lot of education that needs to be done, especially in the very complicated area of veterans benefits, which is not an area for the inexperienced or the novice, even people who have lawyers who have good motives and want to help. It's a very complicated area, and we don't have experienced practitioners in this state to really help these veterans through with these claims. We're sort of trying to wrestle with that chicken and egg kind of problem, is how do we get experienced practitioners, and how do we get the development of that so that they could serve Oregon veterans better. So we're doing that, and we're making incremental steps to doing more educational efforts in that regard. So we are actually meeting today, later on today, to plan some of our educational seminars for that. The Board of Bar Governors has given us support. They have approved preliminary the legislative concepts that Mr. Barton has talked about. And I think, Mr. Chair, your comments are good cautionary comments for all of us, is sometimes there's an attention problem in society, and everything is everybody means well and everybody pays a lot of attention when troops are over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then things fade. But the problem is the problems themselves have always been there and actually will manifest themselves in a greater degree later. So it's almost we have to become more vigilant when they return, when our troops return and things in essence calm down internationally. The work has just begun domestically for us to deal with these. So we are continuing to recruit more lawyers to do this because there is a lot of work out there. We've got the legislation that we've talked about, and in the packet of materials that we have, We've given you kind of the overview of some of the other services offered by the Military Assistance Panel and the background on the legislation so that the history of all these things can be developed, especially would be significant as we go forward with the intended proposed modifications on the mitigating factors and judicial tools concepts. So that's all in the packet of materials that we've given the committee and available to answer any questions that the chair or the committee members have.
Thank you very much. And as you pointed out, one of the biggest things that the Senate and the House committee and the legislature can do is continue to educate people, because we do have a lot of tools out there. We're always making improvements, but many times it's simply a lack of information. The veteran service officer in Burns doesn't necessarily have all the answers, and so educating the public is important. I would, in light of several things the Madam Vice Chair said, I guess I would ask, the one question I would have is there counties or agencies outside of the Bar Association that we should give kudos to and encourage others to model, or are there district attorney offices or somebody out there that's doing a better job than others that those who are just becoming educated in the legal side might look towards them for answers?
I'm going to defer to Jess on that. He probably has a better perspective being on the ground in that area than I do on those issues.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman, the county veteran service officers do a really fine job. It's an excellent program that the state's had for I don't know how many decades it's been in existence. I know that, just as the way it is, there's 36 counties, and pretty much every county has its own VSO. Some are better than others. Lane County's VSO's office works really well. There's an organization I've worked with before. It's a not-for-profit organization called the Returning Veterans Project. That project provides pro bono. It's kind of like the counterpart, the medical counterpart to the Bar's Military Assistance Panel, except instead of providing legal services pro bono, it provides medical services pro bono. They have like 140 different medical providers around the state who provide, I have no idea how many thousands of hours of pro bono services they provided veterans since the organization came into existence probably in 2006 or something like that. Try to think of some others. I'm actually not really prepared to answer the question. I probably could tick off a few more if I could sit here and ponder it for a second. But.
Well, thank you very much. Can I invite your questions? Unrecorded questions? Senator Olson? No, thank you very much, and we appreciate the input and the update, and we look forward to two concepts in September, or Councilor here looks to move before September, because we have deadlines and processing we need to go forward. And again, I would encourage anybody that's out there in the public that's looking to deal to contact the Oregon State Bar Association if they have an issue or need a reference, because it's another good resource for veterans. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Mr. Chair, if we have judicial-type bills, why would it come to our committee rather than judiciary? Because judiciary has that background, which we don't have.
That's very good, but, sometimes the presiding officer and the presiding officer's staff have various committees exchange the bills from concepts and experience. And I think later today, Madam Vice Chair, we'll be viewing a 911 center in which, someone's going to get the distinct policy pleasure of looking at that one. And since it's a related issue, we all have to be prepared to react to what the presiding officer asks our committees to do.
He's avoiding eye contact.
I didn't understand what you're... Anyway, with that, colleagues, I have about three or four announcements, if other ones don't, and then we're going to close for the day and go to the Anderson Readiness Center. There are a couple things out in front of us that the committee may be interested in, and in addition, the public could be interested in. There's Dignity Memorial Vietnam Wall will actually be in the Skyline Memorial Gardens from November 9th to 12th. And we'll bring this issue up again in the September meeting. It's those that would be interested in visiting the Dignity Memorial Vietnam Wall in November. In addition to that, the Vietnam Wall is in the same time frame. And then the groundbreaking for the World War II Memorial here in the state capitol area is actually on June 6th at 1330 or 1:30 p.m. on the corner of Court and Cottage Streets, which is actually in the southwest corner of the Capitol Mall. And that's the World War II Memorial Foundation. Remember, has built a memorial in that area, too. And with that, are there other announcements, Madam Vice Chair?
No. May 8th was, as you know, we passed a Military Family Appreciation Day, and I know there were a number of events throughout the state. That was May 8th.
Appreciate that. Senator Olson?
Senator Courtney?
With that, then, we're going to go ahead and adjourn. I would remind members they have the instructions to how to get to the Anderson Readiness Center, and it's basically straight down State Street, multiple blocks until you go past the 4th Street and hit the open fields on the right, and on the left there is a fence building with a big black picket fence and steel around it. You have to turn before you get to it. The main gate that used to be there in the middle is closed, so you have to turn before that, and from there I believe one of the security guards at the booth can kind of give you directions on where to go. And with that, I would hope to see most of the members there by 9 o'clock. I think it'll only be like a 30-minute tour, and you should be back 30 or 45 minutes back from there, depending on. And again, there won't be any policy discussions there. It's information only, and staff is welcome. And if there's no further announcements, the Senate Interim Committee on Military Affairs and Veterans is adjourned for the day.